This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Jeffrey Beal is a librarian at CU Denver. He's also a global detective, sniffing out what he believes are shady academic publishers, ones more interested in making a buck than disseminating solid science. Well, Beal's blog, which tracks predatory publishers, has landed him in some hot water. A publisher based in India is threatening to sue him for $1 billion. The threat also includes time in an Indian jail. Beal's desire to ferret out unscrupulous journals isn't just an academic pursuit, because he says society as a whole relies on good research, including the media.
Journalists are one element of society that uses scholarly communication. Another is public policymakers often rely on research. It's also used in legal cases. Of course, the most important area is medicine.
Right. The idea that some surgery or the prescription of some drug could be based on something that wasn't thoroughly vetted is terrifying.
Exactly.
What are these publishers doing that's predatory? I mean, how do they make your list?
They accept papers without giving them a sufficient peer review just to earn the fees that come along with publishing the paper.
And of course, peer review, hugely important in academic publishing, the idea that others are vetting your work, making sure it's accurate. And then when you talk about these fees, that is, the publishers are charging the academics to publish their articles?
That's true. That's the basis of the gold open access publishing model. Authors are charged a fee upon acceptance of the article. So the predatory aspect of this is that many publishers have been set up just to earn the fees. And there's a conflict of interest built into the system because the more articles they accept, the more money they make. And that proves too tempting for many who accept articles that really shouldn't be accepted to be published as science.
Profit is driving them as opposed to solid academic research and true tested new ideas.
Right. They're skimping on peer review.
They're skimping or they're skipping it altogether?
Both. Both things are happening. That's okay. Hard to document because they're not transparent in their operations. So we have to look at the articles that they accept and judge them by that.
What are some of the journals on your watch list called?
British Journal of Science is one.
Sounds awfully reputable, right?
It does, but that's one of the tricks that they use. They put terms like British or American or Canadian in their titles in order to steal some of the legitimacy of those terms and take their brand value.
Where is the British Journal of Science based?
I think it's based in Pakistan. In fact, I think there's more British journals in Pakistan than there are in the UK.
I think that a lot of us are familiar generally with journals like Nature, for instance. And we hear a lot of headlines, you know, published this week in the journal Nature or something. So that's the more traditional model, right? Academics are not paying to get into Nature.
No, they're not. It follows the traditional publishing model, which is reader-based, and libraries or others pay a subscription to access the content.
And so their bottom line is met by the subscription model.
Exactly.
Versus these, what, for-profit academic publishers whose bottom line is met by the author fees?
Not all of them are for-profit. There are some nonprofit publishers that use the gold open access model. And there's nothing wrong with the gold open access model per se.
There's nothing wrong with it. Why not?
It's a valid scholarly publishing model. It's just the abuse of it that's wrong. It's a model that has some great strengths to it. Of course, the biggest advantage is that it makes research free to all readers, including anybody with access to the internet. And it's especially valuable in poor and medium-income countries where they didn't have funds in the past necessarily to always pay for scholarly journal subscriptions.
Because anyone with access to the internet can find an article.
Exactly.
It's not behind a paywall.
Right. You can access the article, download it, and use it to do your own research.
Is it that the publishers on your predatory list are charging excessive fees? Is the amount a consideration?
No, it's not. That's not one of my criteria. If you stand back and look at the criteria, the two main things are deceit and lack of transparency in their operations. I run across a lot of predatory publishers that don't say where they're from. They have a contact us page on their website. It doesn't list any physical address, and it's blocked when you try to look at the domain name registration. You can't figure out for the life of them where they're from. And usually this happens because they're in a place like a third world country, and they don't want to let people know that because it will affect the number of submissions they get and therefore will affect their bottom line.
Are scholars duped by this? Or are scholars complicit? In other words, are they happy to have more open access publishers so that in the world of publisher perish, they're not perishing?
Well, the answer to your question is both.
Okay.
Authors are both complicit and they're also fooled by these. And that's how the predatory publishers make their money mostly, is by fooling authors. They want to look as legitimate as they can in order to get the article processing charges from the authors. And they're very good at it.
Can you cite an example of an academic, perhaps at CU Denver, who's been duped?
No. I don't want to cite any examples.
But you know of them happening on your campus?
They've happened all over the world. Yeah. Many have been duped.
Isn't it up to the academic to look into this? Wouldn't a couple of searches reveal, like, huh, something's fishy about this publisher?
The predatory publishers are very, very good at appealing to the needs of authors. And one of the ways they operate is by using spam email. They will send a personalized spam email to an author praising his or her earlier works and inviting a new submission. And especially with junior faculty and graduate students and postdocs and those who haven't gained a lot of familiarity with the scholarly publishing process.
Kind of an ego boost, right?
It certainly is. And many people fall for this. By no fault of their own, I think. So they submit a paper to the publisher, and often in the spam email, they don't mention that they're using the Gold Open Access model at all. They don't mention anything about the article processing charge. So they accept the paper and publish it, and then they will invoice the author for the article processing charge. And the author is completely surprised, had no idea that there was going to be a charge. They're also surprised because the peer review process was quicker than they're used to. Most of the time, you have to do revisions.
A lot of revisions, right.
Right. An honest peer review process can take a long time.
What are the fees? What's the range?
I've seen as low as $20. It's not uncommon for the fees to be over $1,000.
So you have on your list this outfit based in, I think it's Hyderabad, India, called Omix Publishing. The letter you received from them warns that you could face prison time in an Indian jail for besmirching their reputation if you're found guilty. And there's this threat of a $1 billion lawsuit. How do you plan to respond, or have you already?
I haven't responded. The university lawyers will be representing me in this. So I personally will not be responding to it.
What was your reaction when you got this letter? Was it addressed directly to you?
Yes, I received it on email a couple of days ago. It's not the first time this has happened. I've received threatening letters in the past, and I should clarify, this isn't a lawsuit. It's just a threatening letter.
Right.
And lawyers write threatening letters all the time.
There are individual standalone journals, and then there are publishers like Omix, which I guess has a lot of different journals to its name, I think over 50 of them.
Oh, it has over 200 journals.
Over 200? Like what?
Most of them are in the life sciences. But they're branching out into other areas, I think engineering as well.
So this is not the first threat you've gotten. How many have you gotten, would you say?
There was one other significant one that I got late last year from a publisher based in Canada.
And what did it say?
It requested that I remove all of my blog posts that discussed the publisher, and they also asked for monetary compensation.
Did you remove them?
I did not.
Did you pay them?
I did not.
What happened? It just fizzled, or?
It fizzled.
Which is, I gather, what you're hoping happens with this one.
Yes.
You seem rather unfazed by the threats. I'm not sure I'd be sleeping at night.
One of the elements of the current threat was jail time in India.
Yeah.
That was frightening to me briefly. I just don't...
Of course, extradition would be interesting, right?
Yeah. I don't see it as happening. So... I feel resolute. I think I'm doing something that people are finding valuable. I've received lots of thanks from scholars from all over the world for my work.
But I don't imagine there are any vacations to Mumbai coming up for you.
In fact, the university lawyer has requested that I not travel to India for the time being.
Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Jeffrey Beal is an academic librarian at CU Denver and keeper of the blog Scholarly Open Access, which we've linked to at cpr.org. An academic publisher in India is threatening him with jail time and a $1 billion lawsuit. We asked the Omix Publishing Group for comment, but didn't hear back. Beal says any publisher on his predatory list can appeal to be removed, and he says he has removed ones that he thinks have become reputable.